Hello everyone, welcome along again to another edition of Profit Podcast. I'm your host Paul Campy, if you've never tuned in before, and my co-host Matt is away this week, so I'm going to do a quick solo episode on something that's coming up, well, does come up often for people that we work with, but also is a bit of a prominent area that I'm working on at the minute in one of my projects. So I thought it'd be good to unpack how you make your conversion rates better over time. And I've chunked that down into about four or five areas to work through. So here we go. The Profit Podcast. Right, the first area I'm going to explain is, do you know your numbers? Quite often people we work with on this don't actually have enough data to understand where the gaps are and where they can make improvements. So first things first, get your numbers in check. Make sure that you know exactly what is happening within the business and you've got a reliable, consistent and accurate way of recording your numbers. So for instance, some of the things that you're going to want to track are the number of leads. So how many leads are coming in to the business and where are they coming from? Cost per lead is another one that you'd look at, because if you are spending money on marketing, for example, if you spend £100 on Facebook ads every month and that brings you in 50 leads, then each one of those leads is costing you £2. So you'll have a target figure that you're aiming for, that you're comfortable with, that you want to be looking to hit consistently. So that'll give you a consistent measure to look at in terms of cost per leads. Next would be leads to call. So in other words, how many of those leads are being converted through to a phone call or a first point of contact? How many of those are actually clicking through or being contacted directly? And how many people are we connecting with from those leads? So if there's 100 leads coming in, might be that, you know, 50 of those we're managing to get contact with and try and get to the next stage of our sales funnel. After that, of those people, 50 that you're contacting, how many of those are you getting through to your sales consultation or squeeze page consultation, whatever it is you're using in the funnel? And again, so that might be another 50% of those 50. So that might be 25 that go through to a consultation. The next one is there'll probably be a percentage of no-shows. So you're going to want to take that into account. After that, of the people who are actually showing up to their consultation or making it all the way through to that stage, how many of those are then converting through to giving you some money, basically, making a sale? I have put in my notes here that the initial sale might be some kind of trial offer. Matt and I have spoke about this in the past. It doesn't mean that they're signing up for your membership or your client services, your full client services straight away. Could be that they're converting to some kind of trial offer. And from the trial offer then, the last thing to measure would be how many of those people are actually signing up to your full paid service. Okay, so that gives you a rundown of some of the numbers that you're going to need to track accurately, consistently, so that you can see what's going on in your sales funnel and you can start to make changes to try and improve those numbers. Hope that helps with that. Okay, next section two, is going to be about increasing the number of leads coming in to the business. So I mentioned the first two figures, number of leads and cost per lead. So what things can you do with that? Well, a test it is one of the best pieces of advice I can give people with this is, don't be afraid to run different ads. Obviously, you're going to start with your whatever form of advertising and marketing you're using, but don't be afraid to tweak the ads regularly. Don't be afraid to change some of the language in the ads and test them against each other. Send them to things like friends and family, especially friends and family that are in the demographic you're after. So we recently did this with a female-only camp that we sent out to everybody in our network we knew that was in that kind of demographic, and asked them for feedback and said, what do you think? Is it too wordy? Is it too long? Is there language in there that you just wouldn't use? Do you like the images? Are there too many images? What are the colors like? So you can really get feedback on lots of detail about your ads, and don't be afraid to tweak. Run it for a period of time, test it, and then make adjustments. and make sure you're measuring that on a regular basis. Okay, number three is follow up to the lead. So this is a really important area. So once you have got a lead coming in, what happens as soon as that person's inquired? Because again, as Matt and I have spoke about in the past, the second that lead comes in, it's starting to get cold from the second it comes in to the point of contact. So the quicker you can get to a lead, I wish I had a stat around this to give you right now, but I can 100% tell you that the quicker you get to a lead, the warmer it's going to be and the better a chance you've got of getting it to the next part of your service. So you've got to have something that gets to them quickly. So I would recommend something like an auto SMS or an automated email that goes out immediately to the person, thanking them for the inquiry, acknowledging that you've had it and that you will get to them as soon as your sales funnel allows. So we try and get back to people within an hour of them inquiring. That, being brutally honest, that doesn't always happen, but we aim for an hour, and that's a target within our business that we try and do. So aim to be getting to your leads within a certain period of time, but send them an automated email or SMS acknowledging that, thank you for the inquiry, we'll get back to you, right? And you'd be surprised at how many people would reply to that email or text just saying, thank you, great, I'm really keen, and you'll get an idea of how warm the lead is. Get to the call ASAP, as I said, you know, try and always constantly improve that. That might mean taking on more sales staff. It might mean changing your diary and your schedule around a little bit to allow for being taking calls throughout the day. I would just put one little note in there that, you know, if you are doing the sales calls yourself at the minute, make sure that you are scheduling in time to do them and you are being protective of your own boundaries with that, because you also don't want to burn out. Because chances are, if you're a PT listening to this right now, you're the service end and you're the sales end. So there's a bit of a balance to strike there between getting to the calls as quick as you can, but also not burning out too much on one task and being able to still provide a great service for clients. Practice and refine your call. So if it's a call that you're going to contact the person with, practice that script and refine it. Have a script would be one of the first things to say, is make sure that you do actually have a script that you are calling that person with. Make regular changes to the language. Make regular changes to make it more positive, more engaging. It's very similar to a sales consultation that we've covered in the past, that you need to build rapport with this person. So you need to get a familiarity and a connection with them on the phone. We want to evoke some kind of emotion from them as well, like why they made the inquiry. So we use that one quite often. What made you fill that form in? How can we help you? We want to get some kind of emotional background behind it. Why is this important to you? And we also want to get some kind of logical questions in there as well about how often are you looking to train a week? Is this something that you're really committed to long term? So we really want to get a few questions in there that help us build a relationship with the person, but help us get an understanding of what it is they want and how we can help them. On the call, I would also say things like body language. What's helped me in the past with these things is I'll stand up, I'll walk around while I'm making the calls, I'll smile, as silly as that sounds. It does make a difference in terms of how your communication comes across to that person. And remember the outcome of this call. Last thing I would say on this, the outcome of this call is getting the person to an appointment. That's your goal for the call, is to get them into a face-to-face consultation or a phone consultation or a Zoom consultation, however you do it in your business, but it's to get them to that next stage. Okay, I've put a little sort of midsection in here between this and the last area we're going to talk about, but dealing with no-shows. This does happen. The first thing I would say is if someone books a consultation then doesn't show up, don't take it too personal. Obviously, we want to make some tweaks and changes to try and improve the chances of people showing up. But it's very important as well not to take that personally. Don't take it as a personal slight on your service or an attack on you. You know, something might have just come up. One common thing we see here is the gap between the call, the initial inquiry call, and booking the consultation. You want to try and shorten that gap as much as you can. So in other words, if I take an inquiry today and I call them up, I don't want my consultation to be in 3, 4, 5 days' time, because the longer that gap goes, the more likely they are to lose interest and lose the stimulation, and chances are they won't show up for their consultation. So if I can get it in the next day or two, then that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get them as quickly as I can onto that booking. So that will help with no-shows. Other things that will help with no-shows is having follow-up messages in that gap. So things like, once you've booked the consultation, send them a reminder, send them an auto-confirmation that says, thank you for booking the consultation, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to bring. You can even now incorporate things like little videos of yourself so that they're getting a familiarity and they're still building a relationship with you in between booking the consultation and the call you've just done. I would also have follow-ups if people don't show up. So in other words, if someone doesn't show up for an appointment, think about how they're going to feel. There might be that, you know, they could have lost their nerve. That's a good chance that they just lost their nerve in terms of coming in. They could have very well got nervous and anxious about coming into a gym for the first time, or maybe they're not familiar with gym environments. And then the potential is they're not going to feel great about that. So try and take that, some of those feelings away from them, like maybe a bit of embarrassment or shame. You want to remove that by saying, just wanted to follow up with you. I hope you're okay. Always here to help if anything, if you need any more advice or you want to rebook the appointment. Try and take some of those feelings of guilt or shame or embarrassment away, okay? So make sure you do follow up with no-shows, but keep the language soft. Try and take the feelings of, not the negative feelings away from the person maybe not showing up, and do a good follow-up with them. If they don't get back to you after that, the last thing is put them on a long-term nurture list. Maybe they just weren't ready now, but they might be ready in 6 months' time. So you'll probably have their details, like their email address and everything. Put them on a long-term nurture list, and then you can always reconnect with them with some long-term nurture emails, and who knows, they might be back. And then the last section I'm going to cover in helping you with your conversion rates today is the people who are booking appointments, conversions then to either your full service or your trial. So this, we've covered this multiple times in the past, doing a great consultation. You've got to get sharp at consultations. This is the start of your client journey. It's got to be high standard. It will, if you get it right, you can take your conversion levels from consult to client up to 70-80% quite easily with practice. But a few just hints and tips on this to recover this area. So the usual way we've covered, Matt and I have covered consultations in the past, build an emotional case. There must be questions in there to evoke emotion about what pleasurable feelings and emotions they're going to experience by achieving the goal, and maybe what painful emotions and feelings they're experiencing now that they'd like to get away from. And really listening in that section and having some empathy and practicing active listening to get the most information you can. There has to be a logical case. There has to be some questions in there about building a plan that's going to be effective for this person. And obviously, as part of that plan, if your service hits those bullet points for the plan, then great. If it doesn't, be prepared to help them find somewhere that does. So logical case on that. In terms of our consultations, where we've done them in the past, what we discussed is helping the client get a bit of a feel for the experience of your service as well. So I've made a couple of notes here on, if you do a Zoom consultation, which quite a lot of people do now, consider building in a small presentation. So there might be 3 or 4 slides that you can show them that really showcase your service. So it could be that, you know, you show them some pictures of some client results on one of the slides. It could be that you show them some images or small video of a client event that you do, or social that the clients have been on recently, to showcase that you're a family, that one of your values as a business is family and connection. It could be that you show them a bit of a diagram of how your service works over time. So show them a bit of your client journey. Anything that you can do to showcase the service and the skills that you have, brilliant. So on Zoom, you know, you could do that as a 3 or 4 slide presentation. if it's in person, you could actually take them physically into the gym and do some little bits and pieces with them in the gym. Or again, it might be a short presentation or something that you do with them to help showcase what you do as a trainer and help them feel it a little bit more, because they're going to listen to you, so they're going to hear it. They're going to obviously watch you if you're on Zoom or in person, so they're going to get a visual for you helping them. But we also want them to feel a little bit of that experience. So on Zoom, that's more difficult. You can do it with a presentation, but in person, you might actually be able to do some physical stuff with them. I've also put on there things like social proof. I just mentioned, have social proof available with you in that appointment. So we used to have something called a culture book, which would have hundreds of client testimonials in there from lots of different walks of life. And it was almost like a coffee table book that people could flick through to go, oh, that person's just like me. And that's what it is. It's about helping them see that there are people just like them who've got the results that they're after. And it takes away any of that risk or that anxiety that, you know, they just can't do this. Prescribe, don't pitch. We always talk about this. Don't pitch it to them. Make sure that you're giving them a prescription for what is the best, what's the best thing that they can do right now, having listened to them for the last 30, 40 minutes. Here's my prescription as an expert. So always prescribe, don't pitch. If you've done your consult right, you just need to give the person the best option for them and then let them think about it from there. And my last one here would be, if you are selling a trial or an intro to your services, then just have that irresistible offer set up really, really well. So we always talked about our two-week trial where we do two sessions the first week, two sessions the second week. And we used to do that at a knockdown price that was irresistible in terms of people being able to spend that risk-free. It was a no-brainer, but it also gave them a real introduction to what it was like to be a high-level PT client. We made that offer really irresistible. And people could do that 2 weeks. They could sample it all. They could feel it all. They could get in the groove. And then we would upsell to our full high-priced premium service PT. Okay. I hope that helps. It's an area that, like I said, I've been working a lot on recently, and I've had a lot of questions on this over the years. So I thought it was worth recapping some of this to help you guys close your conversion rate. So just real quick. First of all, know your numbers. Make sure you understand those inside and out. If you don't, that would be task one. Second thing is increasing the number of leads. So tinkering with your marketing, your ads, your language, your images, your colors, your testimonials, anything on those pages or advertisements that are going to help you attract more of the types of clients you want. And don't be afraid to test that. Number three is, once people have inquired, what do you do between that and then booking a consult? So there's lots of little steps in there that I went through that can really increase your chances of someone putting an inquiry in to getting them booked to a consult. So you want to get that percentage as high as you can. And if I was in a PT's position right now, I'd be looking for at least 50% of inquiries coming in that book to actually do a consultation. There will be a few no-shows in there, so you will have to factor in a percentage for no-shows. But again, you can do some steps in there to help increase your chances of more people showing up. And number four was, once you've got them in an appointment, conversion then up to some kind of either fully paid service or a trial that's going to introduce them to the fully paid service, but they're still paying money for that trial. So I hope that all helps. I hope that helps you tighten your conversions, tighten your consults. Any questions on it, as always, reach out to myself or Matt at our Instagram accounts. And until then, we will see you next week with another special guest we have on. But until then, take care. Hope everyone's doing good and have a great week.
Your feedback and questions help us shape the future of this show. So if you enjoy the show and want it to continue, why not be part of its creation by giving us some help, support and ideas? If you've enjoyed the show so far, or just this particular episode, then please feel free to head over to Apple Podcasts and Spotify to leave us a rating and review. And as always, we want you to tune in next time. So hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. And we will catch you again very soon in our latest ProFit podcast episode. Take care, and we will see you very shortly.